repeats itself. You hope in spite of it, dance to the contrary.
Gem by The Trues, and Jeff Heschelt from that band joins me tonight on Dangerfield. So the song we just heard was off their 2021 released album Wanderer. It was released end of 2021, so it's still fairly new. So Jeff, you've got some pretty interesting stories about this this album. I read that you started recording it down in Nashville in 2019 with the Black Crowes guitarist. So the song that we just heard was, I think, produced by Rich Robertson, is that correct, or was it recorded by him?
Yeah, produced. We went down to Nashville at the end of 2019, and we had the intention of doing three tracks. which we did with him. And yeah, the Hidden Gem was one of them. We came up with them all pretty much day of in the studio, went in and just banged out ideas and then recorded it by the end of the day.
Oh, wow. And,
it was great. It was one of my favorite recording processes
ever. And does your band The Trues, do you guys normally, is that your process normally for recording music? Are you that kind of instant, or do people usually come to the studio with ideas and then you just kind of build off them, or how does that usually
work? That was definitely, something different. Wow. That the band has done. Maybe, in the early days, it would have been a lot more like that. But, we kind of went down not even really knowing what we were going to do. We had a bunch of songs, and we'd go in the morning, play something for Rich, and he'd be like, yeah, let's do that one. And then we'd work through it, and he'd give us advice through the day. And I think everyone kind of felt a bit out of our element doing it. Right. Which
and what
was good.
What studio was that at in Nashville?
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's since closed, but it was called, The Tracking Room.
Okay.
And it was fantastic. Nice spot.
Knowing you for as long as I have, 25 years, I know that the Black Crowes, which is the band that Rich Robinson's from, so they've sold over 25 million albums. So he's the guitarist, songwriter, and founder of that band. They're like your favorite band, aren't they?
Yeah, I've been a fan of them for a long time. They, my wife took me to see them in 2006.
I remember
at the Cool House, and she was always a big fan, and I kind of wasn't. And she took me to that show, and I remember it blew me away. I was like, this is, this is real rock and roll, real right. good rock and roll. So it was, I've been a big fan ever since.
And you're actually playing the only two Canadian dates opening for them this summer. So you're playing July 5th at Caesars Windsor and July 6th at the Budweiser Stage, which is Toronto's biggest amphitheater. So that's got to be an exciting thing to look forward to.
Oh, yeah. It was supposed to happen in 2020 on my birthday. I'm glad that it actually did get rescheduled.
Cool. Yeah. And so speaking of the band The Trues that we heard that first song from, you've had some pretty amazing experiences, like big time ones, opening for Weezer, opening for Bruce Springsteen, and something that I know must have been pretty special to your heart. So I think in 2010, you did a song with Garth Hudson from the band. And, he's the multi-instrumentalist, keyboardist, occasional saxophonist. What was that experience like for you?
Oh, that was the best. It was, I think the band almost didn't need... I think they didn't want to do it, and they were like, Jeff loves this guy, so I think we should do it. But, I got to, hang out with him in the studio for 2 days, and as soon as he walked in, he was like, who's the keyboard player? And right away, we were just, talking gear, and I got to play his rig, and, he paid me some nice compliments. It was amazing.
That's awesome. Well, let's listen to the song that you recorded with him. So it was... off an album in 2010 called Garth Hudson Presents a Canadian Celebration of the Band, 10th Anniversary Edition. And the song's called Move to Japan, and we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Yep.
Good to be here. Thank you very much. On the way to Japan now in a bit. From my island to your island. Be a long plane ride. Before I leaves the rock, there's only one thing I need, but it's a kisses from the missus. And a skiddly diddly diddly piss. Anywho, on the way, 15-hour flight. Not what I like to be at, but it's where I'm going to have to be at. Hope they show a good movie on the plane. Better be something old school. Spy! On the go! Bet I hope they got a good game of bingo go when I get there. Eyes, the buys, the bills, the boats. My country to your country, my island to your island. Here we go. Run away to Japan, now, boys. What? Japan. I'm gonna move to Japan.
Yokohama. We're gonna move to Japan. We're gonna move to Japan. Tokyo's got some neon. I put a pot of green tea on. Akira Kurosawa, Sapporo, Okinawa. Girls with diamond eyes. And even seaweed rice. It's the land of tradition.
Japan by Garth Hudson and the Trues, and Jeff, the keyboardist from the Trues, and also a multi-keyboardist and instrumentalist and producer and songwriter, Canadian legend, joins me tonight on Dangerfield. So we were talking a little bit before about how the album that you recorded with the Trues, Wanderer, which came out in November 2021, you kind of had to put it on hold, I guess, for a little bit because of COVID. And so knowing you as someone who has been pretty much constantly touring, it seems like, since I've known you, what was that pause like and of taking a break from touring? And did that help inform the start of the project that you have now called Current Fantasy?
Oh, that break was great for about 2 minutes. and then it stunk.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, yeah, as long as you've known me, that's what I've done. I'm, you know, I don't stay in one place too long. And so, you know, the longer you do that, you know, older friends who I came up playing music with who now don't, they always kind of ask me, like, how are you still doing it?
Right.
And I would say, well, you know, I never stopped.
Exactly.
And so having slowed down over the last 2 years, I kind of had a glimpse over. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see how not doing this might make you not want to do it.
Right. And so is that when you started up your radio show? So as I mentioned at the start of the show, you've got a Friday night show. It airs at 11 p.m. on this station, Indy 101.5. And did that emerge as a project during COVID?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I played lots of music. I just, you know, not outside of my house for that first bit. So I started streaming myself for the first time, and it got to be doing it every day through, I guess, April and May of 2020. And then Bri Webb got a hold of me, and he was like, hey, you know, I love what you're doing. He's like, would you be interested in turning it into a radio show?
Cool.
And I was like, I guess I would. What do you want? He's like, you just play your stuff for an hour. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming on, I guess it's coming on 2 years now.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
And so another thing I wanted to chat with you about is let's play a song off a gentleman that I've known you to play with probably since about 2007. His name's Peter Elkis. And let's listen to the song Wall of Fire, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Someone is knocking on my door. I've got to put the phone down now. Well, darling, what are you crying for? You're all that heaven will allow. And is it a mistake? Hey, I don't know. I will only know it if I let you go. One thing that I know for sure is I won't hurt you anymore. Because walking through a wall of fire, it would be easier. Walking through a wall of fire, it would be easier than hurting you again. But hey, how long must I wait in the shadow?
Was Wall of Fire by Peter Elkis, and Jeff Hayschult, who plays with Peter Elkis and on that album, joins me tonight on Dangerfield. And if you'd actually like to check out Jeff and follow him on Instagram, you can find him at instagram.com/Hayschult. That's H-E-I-S-H-O-L-T. So H-E-I-S-H-O-L-T, Heischolt. And so Jeff, you've played on three albums of Peter Alkiss's: 2007's Wall of Fire, 2011 Repeat Offender, and 2018's Lion. And the song that we just heard, that was a kind of a cool time. So that was Wall of Fire was produced by Bob Dylan guitar player Charlie Sexton, who's also a legend in his own right. And that was a pretty cool experience. Can you take us a little bit through what that recording process was like for you?
Oh, it was great as well. Charlie's, you know, a real gem. And as soon as we met him, all of us just locked up immediately.
Yeah.
And he was right there in the live room with us, tracking everything. So he's on every track as well.
Cool.
Playing some guitar. He's playing like a garbage can through some of it. But yeah, it was great. He was really really a treat to work with. And it's funny to look back. I think he was 37 at the time.
Wow.
And I think, you know, however old I was in 2006, 31. So
yeah.
It's like, yeah, he seemed
older.
Yeah, he seemed ages older,
right?
Than us. And he was the first guy I ever knew who wore cowboy boots.
Right.
And,
well, I remember you guys brought him at the time I was living with, I think, maybe the drummer of Peter Alkiss Band, Gavin, and I think Jeremy, the bass player. I don't know if Jeremy was playing bass with him at that time, but I remember you guys brought him over to my room after the bar one night, and I think I had a photo of him on my wall, and I was mortified.
Yeah.
But then, in 2012, Jeff, so you actually did some great producing and writing as well with a group called Littlefoot Longfoot. And so there's a 5-song EP that came out. And let's play a song of that called Woman. And then I want to talk a little bit about that process.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey man, I don't really feel you. You say you can't give anymore.
was Woman by A Little Foot Long Foot. And Jeff Heschel joins me tonight. And Jeff, you wrote and produced on that 5-song EP. Take us through what that process was like for you.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do the production on that. Colin from The Trues actually did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I produced a single that we did, but I mean, okay. You know, I'm the one who brought Colin to the project.
Right.
Yeah, that was super fun. That's, you know, really it was Joan Smith's project, and I joined up with her in 2012. I answered a Craigslist ad.
Really?
It said it was like looking for a heavy organ player with these influences. And sometimes you have that list of bands, and it's like into like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Deep Purple, The Smiths, The Cure. And then there's, you know, like something off on it, like an Avenged Sevenfold or something. Her list was perfect. So I was like, I'll answer this.
Knowing you, who like you love The Smiths and The Cure. And so to have that mixed with Zeppelin, like that's you. That's you as the female.
and then it was, you know, like heavy organ. And I do all the left-hand bass in that band as well.
Oh, no way.
So my left hand was going the whole time. My right was playing as loud as I could. It was super fun.
That's awesome. And then, so that was kind of the 2012. And then 2013, you joined the touring lineup of Canadian roots rock veterans, the Skydiggers. So they're legendary. They've released 19 albums, had tons of singles on the Canadian charts. And there's actually a really cool song that you played on of theirs, and it's a cover of the Hollies' 1974 song "The Air That I Breathe." Let's play that, and then we'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more about your time playing with them.
If I could make a wish, I'd pass. Can't think of anything I need. No cigarettes, no sleep, no light, no
was The Air That I Breathe by the Sky Diggers, and Jeff Hachel, who plays keys with them, he joins me tonight on Dangerfield. And so Jeff, how did you end up meeting and joining, playing with them?
Well, you know, I mean, it's all connected.
Yeah.
So I met Andy Mays through Peter Alkiss because Andy was our guy at Maple Music, which was Pete's label.
Oh, no way.
So I met Andy in like 2005 and, you know, I've known him since then. And so when the keyboard spot opened up, I was the call.
And like, what was that like? Because I'm sure like I did, grew up listening to them. Yeah. So what's that kind of trajectory been like for you where, you know, being you from Thunder Bay, there's all these artists that you've now gone on to play with. Like, could you have ever imagined that would have happened? Or did you kind of almost know that was going to happen? Like, did you kind of feel in your heart that you were kind of destined to do this?
I mean, you know, while I was in Thunder Bay, I definitely, I don't think could have imagined the possibilities that existed outside of, you know, the small town that it is. But once I got down to Toronto and started playing around and, you know, you just kind of, you're like, it is all connected. Everybody knows each other. And, you know, the more people that you meet and play with, the more doors that opens for, you know, I mean, playing with Peter got me playing with the Trues as well.
Right. So the Sky Diggers were on Latent Recordings, and that's the Cowboy Junkies label. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so was that then how you met Jerry Legere?
Yeah. And then this is all connected. So we recorded that Air That I Breathe at Michael Timmins' studio. Mm. And then I didn't meet Jerry through them, but, or did I? but we wound up recording his record Early Riser at the same studio. That was also done.
Yeah, and he's actually been on the show twice. I've really just grown to love his music. So maybe let's play a song you played on that album. Let's listen to Let Me Go from that, and then we'll come back and we'll chat more.
Without a warning, oh, it takes a bad-hearted woman to let me go. But how could I have let her? Oh, it takes a bad-hearted woman. Thank you. when I was loving you. You stood like a scarecrow. Oh, it takes a bad-hearted woman to let me go. To let me go. To let me go this way. To let me go. To let me go. To let me go this way.
That was To Let Me Go by Jerry Legere, and off his 2015 album, Early Riser. And I'm talking to Jeff Heschelt tonight, and we're just kind of going through. Jeff is a famous Canadian, you know, keyboard player, songwriter, producer, singer, everything. And we're kind of just going through the, like, I'm kind of taking us a little bit chronologically. We didn't start at the beginning, but we'll get to the beginning because that's kind of how we met. But I wanted to really highlight, you know, all your accomplishments that you've had over the years. And another fantastic one is you played on two Rufus Wainwright songs.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so there was a song off, you played on a French single of his, and as well a song that ended up on a soundtrack called Holding the Man in 2015. How did that connection occur?
That connection came through Andrew Rodriguez,
right,
who produced those two tracks.
Okay.
And who, he grew up with Rufus, and he put together a band to do these songs. One was a cover of I wish I could remember what it was, but
it's like I remember I remember Montreal, I think, is the French English translation of it.
Yeah. He's a very famous Quebecois singer-songwriter. And then the other one was like he had like a sketch on his phone, and he, you know, we kind of worked it out in the studio, and we got to hear him just like, I remember listening to him just playing piano and singing the song just in the studio in the air, and it was like, it was one of the most amazing vocal performances I've ever heard.
Well, you know what I'm going to play? I'm going to play a clip of, there was one night, and it was yourself. It was Mike Filipovich, Rufus, Andrew Rodriguez, Jason Kent, Matt Mays, Liam O'Neill, and yourself. And it's a 40-second clip. I'm going to play it. It's from my apartment. And it's you guys harmonizing the Everly Brothers song, Who's Going to Shoe Your Pretty Little Feet? And let's listen to that, and then we'll come back, and then we'll play the next one.
Papa's gonna shoot your pretty.
So that was a clip of a whole bunch of guys from a magical night at my old apartment. And so that was just kind of a fun thing where I remember the guitar was going around, and that's, you guys are some of the best singers in Canada. And so that was a really magical experience. So we were talking before that about the soundtrack song that you played on. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll play that as well. It's called Forever in a Year, and it's off the soundtrack Holding the Man.
Thank you. I may be gone today. I may be going tomorrow, but do not fear, my darling. Now I'm here. What are you saying? Pray. What are you trying to tell?
So that was Forever in a Year by Rufus Wainwright, and Jeff Heschel tonight joins me on Dangerfield, and he played on that song. So Jeff, you know, moving along now kind of through your chronology and whatever the word is. Mm-hmm. So from 2015 to 2017, you played keys and recorded with Hamilton's Tara Lightfoot, who's just a stunning singer. And so what was that like? Her voice is just incredible. So you guys toured a lot. Is that correct? Was that, that
yeah,
band?
We toured tons. It was playing with Tara was fantastic. It was super fun. We went all over the States and all over Europe and, you know, came up with that great record as well.
Yeah.
It was a real treat to do.
And so that record is called New Mistakes, and it actually earned a nomination for 2018 Juno Award for Adults Alternative Album of the Year. It was produced, I think, by Gus Van Gogh, who's a famous Canadian producer. And it was actually also longlisted for the Polaris Music Prize. So why don't we listen to Stars Over Dakota from that album, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Inside the glow. glowing twilight flame. Because I'm thinking of you, wondering if you are alright. I'm lost inside the stars again tonight.
Stars Over Dakota by Tara Lightfoot, and I'm with Jeff Heyschultz tonight on Dangerfield, who played on that album. Jeff, we've kind of gone through like a whole range of bands that you've played with, and I wanted to get a lot of them in, but I also just wanted to now kind of get back to the start, which is where I met you through your band, the Bert Nielsen Band.
Yeah.
In 1996, you formed a band called Bert Nielsen Band with some friends who remained your lifelong best friends. So you co-wrote and released 4 records, toured Canada over 20 times, played more than 1,000 shows, and really became, I think, one of the probably 3 staple Canadian jam bands of all time. Was that the only time as well, Jeff, that you lived in a house with a band, would you say?
Oh, lived in a house. Yeah, because, you know, it was just that was how you did it back
yeah.
then. You lived with your friends, and you know, my friends were, bandmates. So, yeah, we all lived together from 96 until 2001 when we came to Toronto. We all kind of broke out on our own, but it was a lot of shared experiences in that time.
And so touring the country that many times, now when you kind of go back with all the different iterations of bands that you toured with, you know, like the Trues and even with Tara and stuff, do you still see people kind of from those original days?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, you know, we're getting old. A lot of them have, stopped going out.
Right.
But yeah, you know, and it's funny to show up in a town and have, you know, like fans from like Bert Nielsen fans will come out to Trues gigs and they'll be
right.
like, did you see the person in the audience with the like glowing hula hoop? And I'm like, oh yeah, I did. I know exactly who that is.
And then the best is like when my sister, when she meets my friends from those days, yeah. Like, remember we were all on a message board together, right?
Yeah.
So she'll be like, who's that? And she'll be like, is that like Snuffleupagus? So, you know, she's always like, we always go by kind of what the people's jam band's names were. And I'm like, you know, I don't even know their real name.
Oh, for sure. There's people who I have no clue what their name is. And
yes.
I've met them before and they're like, yeah, it's Rob. And I'm like, it's like, you know, it's like a filling station. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I know exactly where you are.
And so you've got to Mike Filipovich, who was your real songwriting partner in that band. You guys have kept in great touch, I believe, over the years. And you've got some shows coming up with him this summer. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. He's been in Taiwan, so he says, for the last couple years. And so he's going to be back in the summer. And I think July 22nd for sure is going to be one that we're going to do in Toronto.
And so, Jeff, you also, along with all of the touring bands you played with, you also had a lot of kind of staple bands that you would play with at bars such as the Dakota. So you've also played in bands called like the Mercenaries, Hot Rock. So those were kind of your like, were they like kind of Sunday night staple gigs, or take us through those a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the Dakota was a great place to get gigs, essentially. You know, you go to see one band there, you're going to see somebody else you know who plays and, you know, is looking for a keyboard player. So through that, I played with the Mercenaries for 10 years. You know, the Hot Rock, which was a great Rolling Stones band, did that for a long time as well. And, you know, when I came to Toronto, I knew that, you know, I love to play music and I have lots of nights off. So
yeah.
Sunday is always, you know, the easiest night for a gigging musician to pretty much be sure that you're going to have off. So a lot
right.
of those gigs happened on
So of course
nights.
You're working. You work
yeah.
those nights.
Oh, yeah.
And so, Jeff, there's a fantastic photo. And actually, if folks want to check out Jeff on Instagram, you can find him at instagram.com/Heisholt, Heisholt. And it's of your So I want you to take us through your keyboard setup, because there's this fantastic photo and it's taken at the Dakota. And how many keyboards do you have on stage in it?
Oh, so this is I think the photo, there's two of them. I've done it twice where it's just the complete jerk move of like take up 2/3 of the stage. I think there's 14 keyboards and like 3 or 4 amplifiers in there. And that was actually the last time I played at the Dakota was in March of 2020 that photo was taken.
Wow.
So it's just, I filled as many, even more than I could fit in my vehicle. It took me 2 trips to get everything.
Really? Okay. So take us through, you've got you play as well as Current Fantasy. And so
that's a modular synthesizer.
Okay. Oh.
Where all the audio connections are you have to make yourself. So it's kind of like a pedal board where you take the initial sound source and then you run it through filters, envelopes, effects. And then I have multiple different voices going at the same time.
What's your electricity bill like, Jeff?
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's a good question. I think I leave it all on all the time too. I'm crazy.
You play sometimes in Parkdale, right? Do you have a standard night there as well that people can check out?
I started off doing Sunday nights there at the end of 2020, because the guy who runs this bar tonight, this dude Clamp, he had a system where he had a camera aimed at the stage, broadcasting to a TV on the patio. So when people couldn't be inside, I could still be right around the corner performing onto this TV right there. And it was, it was really good.
That's awesome. Well, it's been fantastic having you on tonight, and it's gone by so quickly, but we've heard just such a great range of all your talent, and it's just been great catching up with you tonight and playing a lot of awesome tunes that you play on. So,
For sure, Mayor. Glad to do it. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, I'll take care. We'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Across the country in the winter, across the highway, on our way home. Too many hours and too many miles until we sleep again.
12 times around the world, and all that I can dream about is sleeping late. And I would plan more, but in Canmore I spend my time just hanging out. A trip into the mountains makes me realize just where I am and what I'm doing to myself. But now I've traveled east in the belly of the great white beast. Though I love Vancouver,